Jesus Christ is a light that lightens up the darkness of our world. Good morning. This is your announcer, Art Benson, seated just off the chancel of St. John's Lutheran Church in Depew, New York, on this third Sunday after Epiphany. As this commentary leads you through our worship service, we hope you will feel as if you are here in person with us. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. We begin our worship this morning by singing, O Morning Star, How Far and Bright, verses 1 and 4, hymn number 73 in Lutheran Worship.
Worship. It is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. This morning I'm going to be focusing on the first lesson, which is from Jonah. I haven't talked on the Old Testament in a long, long time, so I'm switching it up a little bit. But that's where we're going to be going today. We'll be looking at Jonah. And also, just one little quick remark before we get into the service itself. There's been a couple people that have mentioned to me just with all the illness and things like that are going around, and the immune systems and the difficulty that some folks have if they contract something. For the sharing of the peace, if someone just kind of says, you know, they don't want to shake your hand, they're not being rude, their immune system is sensitive and they don't want to contract something. Not that you're carrying something, but just as a precaution. So please, during the sharing of the peace, if someone declines, don't feel uncomfortable. They're not being rude. It's just they're concerned about getting ill. Okay? All right. We'll continue on with the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. And honor. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. We pray. Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our lector this morning is Barb Perry. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Barb.
The first reading is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message to give him. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they had did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 62 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him.
Truly is he my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge.
Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie.
If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath.
Do not trust in exhortation or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, an unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. The second reading is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as they were not, those who buy something as if they were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Please stand, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the first chapter, verses 14 through 20.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "You Have Come Down to the Lakeshore," hymn number 784, in With One Voice. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church in Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Others see.
dear friends in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10, as Barb read for us. But I actually want to focus really on the entire book of, well, at least the first three chapters of Jonah. So to get you thinking about what I want to talk about today, how many of you, when you were younger, were fans of the expression do-over? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do-over? It wasn't popular? So, really? Well, good, then that fits. That fits very well with the sermon. But I guess for us growing up, Rod, I don't know if it was something like not you. There was no such thing. That competitive nature of yours, forget it. But anyway, if we were playing kickball, for example, in a field, and if there was a tree that happened, just this was the only field that you had, and there happened to be a tree sort of in the way, and you kicked the ball, and it wasn't necessarily a foul ball, but it was distracted by the tree, or the ball was hindered by the tree, you would call out, "Do over," right? Because the tree was a hindrance and it's out of your control, right? Well, alright, so maybe this one doesn't work as well, kickball. But here's one that worked really well for me and made a lot of sense for me, and that was when I started to play golf. How many times, Larry, on the tee? Take another one. Take another shot. Right? So you step up to the and in golf, it's not called a do-over. There's a fancy term. Mulligan. Right? A mulligan. So without fail, I would step up to the tee very confident, and I'd have my swing all set, and I'd tell myself mentally when I stepped up, "Keep your head down, don't bend your elbow on the left arm, and you'll be good." And sure enough, I take the swing back, and I lift my head, my elbow bends, and the ball goes, right? And there would Larry be, or whoever I was playing. "There's nobody behind us. Go ahead, take another shot. You got a do-over," right? Now, that do-over, and more times than not, I was very grateful for that do-over shot, but guess what would happen? I'd step back up to the tee box, Larry, and I'd take my do-over shot, and it was right like a rewind. So, but anyway, I was very, very thankful for that do-over shot, that mulligan. Second chances are really a nice thing, aren't they? Now, I get it. It's not always that way in life, and you even said growing up, this whole idea of do-over wasn't something that was very popular. But second chances are nice, and I realize that sometimes in life it doesn't go that way. In fact, a famous author, Max Lucado, once wrote, "Not many second chances exist in our world today. Just ask the kid who didn't make the team, who didn't make the cut, a young man who gets the pink slip at work, the mother of three who got dumped by her boyfriend for something that doesn't have, quote, baggage. Not many second chances nowadays. It's more like it's now or never. Around here, we don't tolerate incompetence. Got to get tough to get along. Not much room at the top. Three strikes and you're out. It's a dog-eat-world. It's a dog-eat-dog world," he said. You see, the idea is one wrong move and you're out, one little mistake, and that can change everything. And I suppose that's how it has to be sometimes. In the business world, maybe. It's competitive, no doubt. But the life of faith, it tells us something different. It tells us something differently. You see, you and I have a God who is a God of second chances, isn't he? Take a look at Jonah. Now, what do we remember about Jonah? Let's see if we can just kind of scratch our minds on the story of Jonah. It's only a small four chapters in the Bible. But what do we know about Jonah? What's the deal with Jonah? The whale. So we know Jonah ended up in the whale, right? In the belly of a fish for how many days? You remember how many days? 3 days, right? Now, why? Why did he end up in the belly of that whale or that fish? So God called him, right, and said, hey, Jonah, I'm going to use you. I need you to help the people in Nineveh come and turn around, turn from their wicked ways, so call them to repentance. And Jonah's response was, nope, no way. And so rather than going to Nineveh, what does he do? He hops a ship, he buys a ticket, he hops a ship, and he starts making his way to this place called Tarshish. Right? Try saying that one. They're tricky words in Jonah. You got Nineveh and you got Tarshish. Right? Right, so he hops on this boat and he's making his way now to this city of Tarshish, and all of a sudden there's this storm that erupts. And Ed, I know you're looking down, so correct me if I catch me if I'm missing something here. So this storm breaks out on the sea, and it's a nasty, wicked storm on the sea, right? And so the shipmates are out of their minds. The captain, what is going on with this? And so they turn to their gods, and they go down into the bottom of the ship, and there Jonah is sleeping during this wicked storm. He's sleeping. So they start to put stuff together. And they say, is this because of you that this storm is happening? And Jonah pretty much says, yeah, it's because of me. Right? And they realize now that Jonah is fleeing from God. Right? So after some conversation, what are we to do? Well, Jonah comes up with a suggestion. Anybody remember what his suggestion was? Toss me overboard. It's a good suggestion. Right? Throw me overboard. And so they do. He's tossed over, and that's when the whale scoops him up, right? Now when Jonah's in the belly of the whale, what does he do? He prays, right? He realizes, I botched this up. I messed up here. And so he turns to God. And part of Jonah's prayer, and I'm just going to sort of paraphrase that prayer, went something like this. I'm cast out of your sight, but I will look again to you, your holy temple, O Lord. I know you've brought my life away from corruption, O Lord my God. I will sacrifice to you with thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So you see, Jonah's running. He's running from God. He ends up in the belly of this whale. He realizes, I made a bad decision. And so he prays to God. He turns to God. He's repentant. He's sorry for what he did. And what is remarkable about this whole story is God's response. God says what? Or doesn't say something. He does something. He spits him right out of the belly of the whale. And then what does he do? He uses Jonah. And Jonah makes his way to Nineveh. And the people, two, have a change of heart. They repent. And God is gracious to them. God spares them. You see, we have a God of second chances. Now, when it came to Jonah, God could have very easily said, I gave you a chance, Jonah. And you said no. Forget it. You're done. But he didn't. God heard Jonah's cry, and God granted him mercy and restoral. And isn't that exactly what God does for you and me in Jesus? How we can be a people sometimes that flee and resist God, right? How we can sometimes be stuck in the deep dark pit, maybe not in the belly of a fish, but in the deep dark pit of our sinfulness. How we can turn our backs on Him even. But there He is, waiting for you and me, and ready to receive us. And when we turn away from those sinful ways and turn back to Him in faith, there He is to receive you and me, to grant us forgiveness. And it's all because of our Jesus who died and who spent 3 days not in the belly of a whale, but in the tomb for you and for me. so that we might be a people that have the guarantee and the sureness of forgiveness and life with Him. Forgiveness over and over and over again. You see, God doesn't just grant us that forgiveness once or twice or three times, but how many times? 70 times 70. Not 7 times 7, but 70 times 7. Meant to be a number that is beyond comprehension. God forgives. God embraces us. God wants for us to be restored to Him and to one another. And I think that's the next best part of this story as we think about Jonah and as we think about ourselves and how God responds. Next part of this story is that not only does God grant us forgiveness and pardon over and over again, but He wants you and me to be a people of second chances. Now, being real with each other sometimes, or I don't want to say too often, but sometimes we're a people who aren't willing to change our hearts. We dig our heels in, don't we? Can't we do that sometimes? Get set in our ways. And if it has to do with our relational things, well, we say, I'm right, they're wrong. When things don't go our way, like Jonah, things don't happen the way that we want them to happen, we can turn just like him. You see, sometimes we're a people who don't like to apologize. Isn't that true? It's hard for us to be the first person, especially to, if there's tension, it's hard for us to be the first person to say, I'm sorry. We don't like to apologize sometimes. And being real, sometimes we can be a people that aren't always willing to hear another person's apology. Isn't that true? You know, if God operated that way, where would we be? We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? If God wasn't willing to hear our cries, our apologies for those times that we've wronged Him, where would we be? In a deep, dark place. We'd be stuck. But you see, God doesn't operate that way, does He? God patiently waits for you and me. God patiently works on us. He works on our hearts and He draws us back to Himself. He never gives up on us for the sake of restoral and relationships. You see, that's because He's in the business of second chances. And He wants the same for you and for me. He calls you and me to be a people who strive for restoral. He calls us to be a people who are willing to say, I'm sorry. As hard as that may be for us sometimes, He calls us to be a people who are willing to say, I'm sorry. And He calls us to be a people who are willing to hear the words of another and to embrace another when they say, I'm sorry. How easy it is for us sometimes to get stuck in our relationships. How easy it is for us to miss out on each other and the gift that we truly are to one another. How easy it is for us to miss out on what God can do through us as a people restored, forgiven. See, now is the time. Now is the time for us to turn to one another if we've wronged one another and say, I'm sorry. Now is our time to turn to our God just as well. Now is the time to forgive and to be forgiven. Now is the time to be restored. Thanks be to God for second chances. Thanks be to God for the second chances that He's given to you and me, the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and the eighth and the ninth and the tenth chances He's given to you and me. Thanks be to God for His love, for His embrace over and over and over again. Thanks be to God that He never gives up on us. And thanks be to God for the second chances that He enables us to give to one another. What a blessing that is to our relationships. We forgive as we've been forgiven, as we are restored to God and to one another. just as Jonah and the people in Nineveh were. We rejoice in those second chances. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers, and this morning's radio broadcast is sponsored and brought to you by John and Kathy Fergale, with thanks to God for many blessings and their 49th wedding anniversary.
Fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather the harvest of the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Praise the Lord,
in addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include the family of Ethel Colgate. Karen, did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. The family of Ethel Colgate. She was a longtime member here at St. John's. And Karen learned that she passed away this past week. So please pray for her family as they mourn her loss, but rejoice in the victory that she's received. Say a word of prayer for Marcia McKinney. Marcia is one of our new members. She took a fall this past week and was hospitalized at Buffalo General as a result of that fall. I did learn that she'll be coming home today after about a week plus stay at Buffalo General. So we rejoice in that. But please keep Marcia in your prayers as she continues to recover. And last but not least, if you would, say prayers we've been praying for Betty's daughter-in-law, Beverly, but she once again was admitted to the hospital yesterday with complications and an infection. So please keep Betty's daughter-in-law, Beverly, in your prayers. Confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Lord God, call this church to expand our vision to see your kingdom present and working among us. Free us from all that hinders us from following you. Be with the Reitzel, Reynolds, Rich, Richardson, and Reinfust families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, call all governing bodies to diminish their thirst for personal victory and move all to seek the common good. Be with Donald, our president, and those serving in our armed forces, especially Tracy and William from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Call to the brokenhearted and all who hunger for healing. Enfold them in the fullness of your embrace. Restore wholeness of body and soul to all in need. Especially today, we pray for the family of Ethel. We pray for Marcia and Beverly. We pray for our extended family members and friends, especially all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on St. John's radio ministry, the support staff at WXRL, our commentators, and all listeners, that as the ministry continues, more and more people may come to know the saving message of the gospel through it. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, be with the folks at the St. Luke Food Pantry and those serving at Plymouth Crossroad. Help us to be aware of all the needs that they serve, so that together all of us might be the presence of your love, your compassion, and your charity, and that that might shine through in our community. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting your love and healing, O God, we commend to you all for whom we pray, knowing you will hear and answer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we praise you that you sent your only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in fashion as man, you manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, in mercy for our fallen world. You gave your only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith, as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together now, as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As we receive God's peace, let's share that peace with one another.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greetings of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's and ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. People of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion. The congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is Draw Near and Take the Body of the Lord, hymn number 240 in Lutheran worship.
This your Lord's true body and blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now unto life everlasting. May you always rejoice in his love, his mercy, and forgiveness, but also share that same spirit with all those you encounter. Part in his joy and his peace. Amen.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and be now and forever. Amen. Take it, eat the body of Christ for you. And now may this, your Lord's true body and blood, strengthen you and keep you, the true faith from now and forever.
The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship service this morning. St. John's Lutheran Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is also handicapped accessible. If you'd like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcasts. If you'd like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address again is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. Or you may call 683-3947. I'm your announcer again, Art Benson, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
this, your Lord's true body of blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith, now and to life everlasting. May you always rejoice in the Lord's forgiveness, his grace and mercy. Share that same spirit with all those you encounter. Depart from the glory. I want you to please stand for the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
joy to know when life is past. The Lord we love is first and last, the end and the beginning. He will one day, O glorious grace, transport us to that happy place, beyond all tears and sinning. Amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, crown of gladness, we are yearning for the day of your returning. Oh, let the harps break forth in sound, our joy be all with music crowned, our voices gaily blending. For Christ goes with us all the way, today, tomorrow, every day, His love is never ending. Sing out, ring out, jubilation, exaltation, tell the story. Great is He, the King of glory.
Please have a seat for a quick moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to be back with you this morning for worship. Very special thanks to Rod for taking care of business for me last week while I was away. It really wasn't a vacation weekend or anything like that. We just had a real busy weekend. And so it was just made my life a little easier for planning stuff. But anyway, I hope you had a blessed week, and I hope you had a little less time with your iPhone and a lot more time with the great I Am. I was listening, so it was fantastic. So, but thank you for taking care of business. There is never in me a moment of anxiety when I know that I'm leaving it in your hands. So thank you for that. On the announcement end of things, just a couple quick announcements before you do head off. Our last adult membership class is this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. For those of you who have been attending, just make note of that. And then what we'll be doing is we'll be welcoming all of these folks officially into the congregation on February 4th, the third and fourth, the weekend of the third and fourth. That's all three services. So whatever, if you're coming into the church by way of new membership, a transfer, whatever it may be, whatever your service preference is, be at that service, and then we'll have you come forward for what's called the affirmation of baptism. Okay, so again, that's going to be February 4th. My official count, by the way, not that that's hugely important, but it is. It's a big thing. There's about 43 people on that list, so that's fantastic. So rejoice. We rejoice in that. But please pray and continue to hold all these folks up in prayer that they continue to make St. John's a central part of their lives. All right. The annual dinner, that's coming up. That's going to be February 23rd at 6 o'clock. As it's noted in your worship bulletin, we're going to do things a little differently this year. It'll be a spaghetti dinner that day. And as I understand, we're going to kind of have like a progressive meal model. So there'll be, you know, a dish that's given to you, then maybe a little bit of talking. So we're trying to change it up a little bit, okay? So again, stay tuned. There'll be tickets for that. But please make every effort to attend that. It's just a neat opportunity for us to come together. So again, that's going to be February 23rd. Your year-end financial statements are available for you. If you didn't see those when you came in, please make sure you grab yours so that you can take those off and give those to your tax people. But again, those are in the baskets on the table out in the fellowship area. Last but not least, it's hard to believe that we have to mention this now, but Lenten devotional books will be ordered very soon. Ash Wednesday is what? February 14th. February 14th. So it's early this year. So we want to get the order in as soon as possible. So if you're interested in an adult devotional or the children's devotional, there's a sign-up sheet for those on the bulletin board. All right? So make sure you get your name there. Anything else for the good of the group? All right. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.